Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to see everyone. I always get excited when the Lord has an opportunity for you to grow, and here's one of those opportunities. We'll be reading out of Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, and tonight we're going to be talking about Christian relationships. So we're going to kind of be diving into the first 9 verses there of Ephesians chapter 6. Why don't you all turn there and then we'll stand and read the Word of God together. All right. Let's all stand. It says here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonishment of the Lord." And it talks here, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Let us pray. Lord, a lot in these verses here, and Lord, just thank you for, this time where we can gather together and study what you have for us today. Lord, let your words speak clearly, Lord, your words and definitely not mine. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, one thing we're talking in the beginning here, we're going to be talking about in the Christian relationship, the relationship that parents have with children, right? And it's a very interesting and dynamic relationship, parents and children. If you've been through down this road or currently going through this road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are days where everything is great and it is all blue sky, and there are days where you're wondering, whose child is this? Because it's not mine. No way are they acting like this. But God has a very specific plan for the household, right? And same with in prior verses, he's talking about what it looks like for a marriage. But he kind of wants there to be order in the house, right? He appointed the man to be the head of the household, and then there's a very distinct line that he wants us to, kind of a chain of command per se. I wouldn't actually call it like that, but kind of a link, right, of what we need to kind of fall in line with. And Paul's talking here. He's really talking about kind of the walk of the believer, right? And he's talking about how we interact with other Christians, how we interact at our workplaces, how we interact in public. What are we to be? I heard this a long time ago, and it kind of stuck with me because I work in this industry, the billboard industry, the big signs you see on the sidewalks, or sidewalks, the expressways and stuff. But I was told one time this analogy, and it really stuck with me, that we are walking billboards for Christ, right? If we claim to be Christians, right, people see what we do, hear what we do, and pay attention to what we do, especially if they don't have Christ in their life, because they see something that they don't have. They see that peace sometimes is about us when we're in a storm, that, or in a situation comes up, we still want to praise and give him glory, even though we're under the certain trials. And people see that and they go, what is that? Conversely, on the other side of that, too, if we're claiming to be Christians and we're out there banging our fist on the ground and screaming at work and not representing ourselves well, we're still, again, what message are we giving out to the people that don't know who Christ is, right? Some things we're going to be taking a look at here tonight. And here it's talking about our walk and our relationship with children. And I don't see
There's a few children in here. Well, not children. You guys are grown up. I mean, but younger adults. We'll put it that way. Oh, there you are, Becca. I see you over there. You too. But, you know, it's talking about that relationship, that special relationship that parents have with children. And in the very first here, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I look at that verse a lot. We see that verse, and we kind of tend to focus on the first part, right? Children, obey your parents, right? I know I do. I can't tell you how many times at the Dean household that verse has been opened up in a conversation with my boys. But there's something to be said about that. When we take a look at that verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What part of that, you know, should we maybe take a look at and dig a little deeper into? Children, obey your parents? Yes, obey. But very important to this verse is in the Lord. So what does that mean? In the Lord. Let's take a look at that. So what he's talking about here is he's talking about, unfortunately, today, and this is really, you can see it a lot now with the news media and with your social media, and you can see these things, that a lot of children today are living in godless homes, right? And you can see that. I've got several kids, and they have a lot of friends, and their friends are all across the spectrum on different things. And you can see sometimes that there are some kids that just, they're living in a godless home. And so what is that saying? Remember, we talked about that chain of command per se, you know, children, obey your parents. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if your parents are living an ungodly life, or they're living in, and they're asking you to do ungodly things, that supersedes that, because again, in the Lord, we're surrendering first to Him, correct? Right? That's who we follow first, not mom and dad. It's Christ. We're to follow Him, His example. And it's like I said, you can go on your social media, you can look at different things, and there's a lot of things going on today with kids. You know, it's a different world for us that we're living in today than it was when I was even in high school. Things are changed, right? It's so easy for kids these days to be abused in different forms and fashion. And it's happened. We see it over and over and over again. News story after news story after news story. Social media feed after social media feed. You see it over and over again. And that damage that's being done to those kids, it just doesn't go away. It's not one of those things that it happens to them and they can just keep that in their childhood. A lot of times what happens is that drags with them as they become adults, and that keeps weighing them down. Those things that are done, there's so many different, they have side effects that still linger today on these, from what has happened to them as a child. And the only way you can heal stuff like that is through the love of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can heal that kind of damage that's been done to a child. That's the only love that can fill that hole that they may have in their heart. And again, it all goes back to, if a child is living in an ungodly house, yes, should they obey their parents? Yes, they should obey their parents. But also look at what the Word says, and look at what the example Jesus is giving you. Because again, who's the true head of the household? It's not mom and dad, right? There's someone above that. And that's who we should keep our eyes focused on. Children, obey your parents. I love saying that. But the rest of that, in the Lord, just as crucial. They go together. You can't separate them, right? Don't follow your parents blindly. You can't do that. Yes, listen to what they say. But what is God telling you to do? And it says right here, for this is right. It's a good thing. You know, and it says, it continues on, honor your father and mother. And I say that to the younger young adults here. And even it doesn't matter. You can still be a full-grown adult, have kids of your own, but still honor your mother and father. That's so important, right? Right? And a lot of times what we're seeing in society, you can have a breakdown in society can be caused from a couple things. You know what that is? Number one is unruly children. Think about that just for a second. If you allow your kids to be unruly, right, and with no discipline, what do they do when they grow up to become an adult? Very simple. They're not going to have that foundation, that belief. They'll be having a difficult time adapting and adjusting to society. And that what ended up causing it is a lot of chaos. Here's another example of obeying your parents. What if situations happen where, you know, I've heard stories of kids that go to church. Now, their parents are not believers, right? But they go to church with a friend. Maybe they stay over at their friend's house one Friday night or Saturday night, and they go to church with them on Sunday. And what happens is this kid goes to church and sees a whole new world that he's never been, you know, shown before. He sees a lot of his friends his own age, but they love on each other in a different way and encourage each other in a different way that he's not used to seeing. You know, and he gets this excitement, this joy, and he wants to know, what do they have that I don't have? And he finds out it's Jesus, right? He accepts Jesus in his heart as his Lord and Savior. He's so excited. He goes home and he tells his parents about it. I just accepted Jesus. And they're like, wait a minute, what? You did what? And I've actually heard comments before say, I would rather, this may sound harsh, but this is what I've heard. I would rather my kids be on drugs because I can understand that, and I do not understand Christ. Just let that sink in for a second. I mean, that's the kind of things that we're facing. That's the kinds of things that kids are facing today that maybe we didn't have to face those kind of challenges. We didn't have those type of obstacles. Our family maybe was a family who loved the Lord and wanted to worship Him. Not all of us have that opportunity. But again, it goes back to obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well and you may live long on all the earth. Now, I don't know if many of you all do know this about me. My mother was German. And she was very good about strict rules, right? And the part about that you may be well and you may live long on the earth if you honor them, I think that was because you didn't want to make her mad. And that was one of those things, you know, my German mom was very big on the rules. But it's, you know, think about this. So you may live long on the earth, and it may, I will tell you one thing. For those who have parents that are still alive, go hug them. Just go do that today. Because you never know what tomorrow brings. And I will tell you this, you miss them more when they're gone. And you wish for that time where you just hug them just one more time. So as just a reminder, I would recommend that you do that just as a friendly little bit of advice. But just as important here, now it's talking about that relationships that kids, right, have with their parents, or you should have with your parents. Now let's talk about the fathers. Let's put the emphasis on us for a minute, right? All right, dads? I know we have a few dads in here. So let's talk about that. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here's something I want to talk about. Do not provoke your children or bring them to wrath. You ever heard of what I like to call coarse jesting? You know what that means? Anybody that works at a job and has a water cooler, if you go near the water cooler around lunchtime, you will hear a lot of coarse jesting. That's that joking. Tends to be mostly men that like to do that. They get around the water cooler and they make these off-color jokes and they're like, oh, are they picking on somebody? And it's considered to be fun, right? You know, oh, let's pick on Bob for today. So they make these jokes on Bob. Bob laughs and you go back and forth with this coarse jesting. A lot of times what that does is, you know, yes, it's a laugh, but you're really bringing somebody down. And maybe it might not be affecting them right there at that time because they're laughing at it because they really feel more like embarrassed at the situation. Usually it affects them later down the road, right? They're in their car, they're driving back, and they're thinking about the day. They're thinking about how terrible it was, and they're like, oh, yeah, and then I was being called that name again. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. But it's talking here, too, in the same idea about fathers not provoking your sons, not teasing on them, or knowing certain things that just kind of drive them crazy and doing those things to elicit that response. We're not to do that. Don't provoke your children to wrath. And another thing, kind of a sidebar on that is, you know, putting all these expectations sometimes on your children that they can't meet, right? Putting these high expectations, these lofty goals that are so high that they cannot reach, that is a frustration for them. I am not saying, you know, help motivate and push your children. That's what we should do. But I'm talking about making it to where, it almost crushes them to know they're not going to reach certain goals, certain things. But you put them on there. And I'll give you a good example. I coach a couple of soccer teams, right? And I watch probably 4 or 5 to 6 games on a weekend. And I get to see all kinds of parents out there watching and cheering on their kids. And normally it's a pretty good experience. But on occasion, you see a parent that, because their child might have missed a pass, just totally just bring them down, screaming and yelling and shouting at that poor kid. And he's trying his best. You know, not all kids are the best athletes, right? There's a spectrum. You got really good players and some good players. Not so good players. But you know what I mean? There's a spectrum. And, you know, not everybody's going to win. But I think the emphasis and demanding the win and demanding the win, and then if they don't win, walking off angry and not enjoying the moment, not enjoying that time with your child, and rather it be such a struggle for them. You know, do not bring your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord. Now, that's, how do we do that? And what are some things that we can do to help show our children that love? One is, one of the things that we've been doing at the Dean House, and I think it's kind of a fun thing, is just find a night where you want to get together and just worship together. And that, you know, turn off the TV. You know, you've seen the movies anyway, they're all bad. So, you know, turn it off the TV, pick up a guitar. If you can't play guitar, that's fine. Play an instrument. Can't play an instrument? That's fine. Turn on the radio and sing to the Christian music you hear on KXOJ or whatever radio station that's playing. Right? You can do that. Just worship. Find a night where you can have that time. Train them so that kids, when they're young, they don't just see you doing it here. It's easy to worship here, right? Because we're away from all the distractions at our home. Right? Laundry. We got laundry to do. We got, you know, cleaning to do. You know, dog needs to be fed. If you go home and you want to try to set a time for worship, I will promise you, you will find 1,000 things that are going to come up that your mind will say, we got to do this before we do worship. Right? But train them so that your children see us as adults worshiping outside of this building. They need to see us worshiping at our homes. They need to see us worshiping, you know, even at our place of work. You know, talking about, you know, having, it doesn't have to be, you know, not all jobs can allow you to do this, but there are sometimes it's okay to have a lunch, get together and have a little Bible study, or have a little time in the Word, right? Or a little time in worship. Nothing wrong with that, but we need to be doing these things outside of this building, not just here. I mean, it's great to do it here. We get charged, and I love it. Trust me. I say it every single Sunday and Wednesday, that I can't wait for the next time we get together and we get to worship, because it is a joy. It's not a joy that I'm up here doing that. It's a joy that we are collectively, we're lifting our voices as one, and we're worshiping our King. How cool is that? I mean, that is such a neat thing that He's given us that ability to do. So, continuing on, and now we're taking a look at bondservants and masters. So, you know, now, you know, Paul was talking about the relationship we have at home, right? And he's talking about our relationship we have with our children. And now he's continuing on. He goes, let's talk about what we have at our workplaces. What does that look like, right? It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. All right, so I see this on occasion. I'm sure you probably have seen an example of this, but let's take you back to the days when you're at your office, at your job, you're working, and the boss is away, right? Because I can already feel the joy, and I can get excited already seeing this. But the boss is gone, right? So what do you do? Boss isn't there. I'm putting my feet up on my desk. Boom, boom. I got to check out little Facebook. Oh, Google. Hello. You know, so you're doing all these little things, right? You have all these distractions going on. And, you know, everything is great. But when the boss walks in, first thing, oh, pick up the phone. Hey, Mr. John, yeah, I'm just calling about that business deal we had. Yo, sure, you're working really hard, right? We should be doing our best. We should be doing what we are called to do, even if no one's watching. If our boss walks in, we should be doing the exact same thing that we'd be doing if he wasn't there. I'm saying that to me, not just you. But that's what we should be doing, right? You know, and it's not to be doing it to get attention either. There are those who like to, when the boss walks in, you're working, you're doing all the greatest things, you're looking great, you're getting all those accolades, the boss loves you, and as soon as he leaves, you're just like, oh, whew, I can take a break now. And again, that's the same thing. No, we're supposed to be working as if we're doing it. We're not working for our boss at whatever job, insert the title there, whether it's whatever you're doing. Who are you working to? It's not the guy that's paying your check, although that's nice. We all need that, but that's not what we're working for, right? Who are we working for? We are doing this unto Christ. So if that was the case, and he went to the cross for us, right? We should be able to take out the trash. We should be able to do these things at the job. And again, I'm pointing at me, not you, me. not to be man pleasers, but as bond servants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, there's something about doing something from the heart. I've had opportunities where, you know, someone said, hey, John, can you go take out the trash? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Okay. And you pick it up. You get the trash. And you go out the door, and you're kind of grumbling all the way down to the curb, and you drop the trash down. You turn back around, and you grumble all the way back up, right? So, and it says here, though, to be doing this, the will of God, from the heart, right? So if you're doing something to God from the heart, no matter how meaningless, you know, how small the job may be, it's important. And do it as if you're doing it to the Lord. You know, I love the crew here at Calvary Chapel that loves to clean. And for those out there that pick up the mop, that take out the trash, that vacuum, thank you. That is it's not the easiest job, and it's the one that always kind of gets skipped over the most, but it's one that's so crucial, so crucial. So you that are doing that work, I want to say thank you. And doing it from the heart, and you can see those that are doing it from the heart. Why? Because they're here. No one's asked them to be here. They're doing it. They're cleaning, and they have a joy in their heart because they're not cleaning up the trash. They're doing a service to the Lord, and that makes them happy. That's what we should have, that heart to want to serve, right? To have that joy in your heart. Whatever you're doing, whatever ministry he's called you to be in, man, that should it should just warm your heart, everything you do in that ministry, right? With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. And now, so we talked about the relationship at home with our kids. And we also touched on a little bit about the relationships that we have at work, you know, as being an employee, right? What it looks like to be a model employee at work. But let's talk about this too. It talks about here, and masters, kind of you could call that, or masters or bosses or, you know, general managers, insert whatever title you would like to put in there, the guy who's paying your check, whatever. And to you masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master in heaven, there is no partiality with him. Have you ever worked for a bad boss? Don't raise your hand. Don't need to raise your hand, but we've all had experiences where there have been people that maybe have been promoted to certain titles that may not have been ready for promotion yet and quite don't know that technique of communicating with people and getting their message across efficiently. So what do they do? They yell. Or they threaten, do this or do that. You know, that's not what God does to us, right? I mean, I'm so glad he doesn't say, John, You missed that G chord when we were playing that song 2 minutes ago. And I tell you, if you don't, he doesn't do that with us, does he? Our God's a loving God, full of grace, love, and mercy. But he's a powerful God. Let's not forget that. But full of grace, love, and mercy. And those are those things he wants to bestow upon us so that we treat each other with that same grace, love, and mercy. It's hard to show somebody the love of God if you're almost hollow inside, or if you're so stern that there's no love coming from you. And how are people to know that we follow God? How are people to know that we have Christ in our life if we don't have love? And that's what it's all about. If you look at all those, you know, talked about children obeying your parents. 'For in the Lord, for this is right, honoring your mother and father. Strip all that away. What's that really talking about? It's loving each other. Being able to make mistakes, and we're all going to make mistakes, but to not let those mistakes, right, just be something that we constantly just crush on someone about. We're all going to stumble. We're not going to fall because he will not let us fall. We may stumble, but he'll be there to lift us up. And again, if you're talking about Christian relationships, they all, you know, it's all one, right? They're all kind of connected together. And God gave us this principle here of how we should live at home, how to keep that home life stable, how to keep that harmony between, you know, father, mother, and children. Because again, it starts at home. If they live a rebellious life, you know, what kind of society are we going to live in the future? What kind of world will we have if that's the case? I will tell you that I'm glad that God's grace, love, and mercy has covered my sins and covered your sins as well. And I can say that the best choice I've ever made in my life was a day that I said, who is this Jesus that I keep hearing about? Because I'm curious. I saw a friend who, you know, again, he was a teacher, and this is when I was in school, and he always had a smile on his face, and he always had this joy in his heart. And it drove me crazy because I was having days where I'm just stressing out. And I'm like, why are you so happy? I don't like it. And so I talked to him one day. I was like, I don't understand. Why? What is the deal? And he goes, have you ever been to church? And I was like, oh, yeah. I went to church. When I, you know, every Christmas, you know, we'd go to church, and Easter we'd go because that's what we did. And so, yeah, I know all about that stuff. And once I went with him a few times, I started seeing that love. And again, I didn't come from a godless house, but I came from a house that really didn't have much to do with him. He wasn't pushed out, but he wasn't really welcome. It was one of those just weird deals. But I got to see some of that. And I was the idea is you can bring that light home and share that with your family. It doesn't, you know, honor your mother and father? Absolutely, yes. But remember who your Father in heaven truly is. That's who we need to follow. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I am so grateful that we had this opportunity to study your word, to dig into it about just Christian relationships and to kind of know how you want that home life to be. Lord, and how you want us to be when we're at our works, our jobs, and what we're doing. Lord, you just want all these things to be combined together. And Lord, thank you again. And Lord, we just pray that these words, Lord, just burn in our hearts and that we go out to the world, Lord, that they don't see John, they don't see Becca, they don't see anybody else. They see Jesus because that's what they need to see. Lord, I just pray that you get rid of the things in our lives that don't need to be there. Lord, get rid of those so there's more room for you.
Lord, we need you in our lives today more than ever. Lord, again, thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.